Good morning, everyone. It is a joy to be back here at Victory Christian Fellowship and to see familiar faces as well as some new faces. It's always good for Jeannie and me to come back to her home turf. I come from a little north of here, Pennsylvania, Lancaster County. Not Lancaster, by the way, Lancaster. But anyway, I want to say, and we want to say, first of all, thank you for the opportunity to fellowship with you this morning. I was very moved by the singing, and many of the songs really fit with some of the things I want to share this morning. I was going to say uncanny. It's godly how that happens. So many times, and how God leads. I also want to say thank you so much for your partnership with us, for faithfully praying for us, for faithfully financially supporting us as missionaries with Campus Crusade for Christ, now known as CRU, here in the U.S., and more specifically with Josh McDowell Ministry, a ministry of CRU. And Before I have two parts I want to share this morning. One is actually three parts. I want to give a personal update on some family things. Then secondly, I want to bring a few, just a message from some of the things that the Lord has been teaching me and teaching us. And then thirdly, I want to share what God has been doing through the Josh McDowell Ministry and really as a result of partnership with folks like you all. And I'll explain more about Josh also when I get into that piece. But on the personal front, Ken said, Jeannie is originally from Virginia, grew up here in Lynchburg, and we have been blessed with two children, seven grandchildren. The eighth one is on the way next year. And our daughter, Emmy, and our son, Scotty, they went with us for so many years to Russia, Ukraine, and Belarus as part of Josh's ministry, Operation Carelift, and Mission to Russia, where we ministered in orphanages, in hospitals, in schools, taking God's word, but also taking some practical help, whether it's food or medicine, milk powder, teddy bears to children, but really sharing the gospel of Jesus with them. And that began in about 1990 and continued for about 15 years. It's about the time that the wall came down. But Emmy grew up saying, I want to learn Russian. So she studied Russian in high school. She studied, minored in Russian in college. She grew up saying, I would eventually like to adopt a child from that part of the world. Well, fast forward, about 18 months ago or so, she and her husband, Philip, who were blessed with three biological children, began the process of adopting a little girl from Ukraine. And it's rather emotional because of how God provided. Last fall, they went over. They were led to this little girl. Her name was Nika. Then this past January, just 3 or 4 weeks before the war broke out, Emmy and Jeannie went over to pick up little Nika. She was almost three. She turned three in February. She came home. She's now a part of their family and our family. And that actually was in a sense, birthed as part of being part of Operation Carelift, visiting orphanages. And I know we shared about that over the years. And in a sense, as you prayed for us then, Nika is an answer to y'all's prayers too. Little did we know how God would be leading. So that is something, and I'll share more about Ukraine a little bit later, but as I mentioned, Emmy has three other children, 10 through now Nika, 3. Our son Scotty and his wife Heather are blessed with 3 children, 4th one on the way. They served with crew in East Asia, a closed country, and they had to leave when the pandemic broke out. They actually left in like 48 to 72 hours. Heather was 8 months pregnant, and they flew home. They arrived in the U.S. the very last day before the U.S. started shutting down its borders, especially to that part of the world. And they came home with about 5 or 6 suitcases, left a fully furnished apartment, hoping to go back. They hadn't been able to go back. The country is closed. They've had to basically give away ship a few of their items to where they're serving now. And they're serving now in the Middle East, reaching college students with the gospel. And in fact, their oldest turns 8 today. We should have called and wished her a happy birthday this morning. But we will later. So anyway, that's sort of an update. We live, during the pandemic, we moved 100 miles east of Dallas to Tyler, Texas, to be closer to our daughter and husband and grandchildren. And I go back into Dallas 3 days a week to work at the office. Pandemic has changed a lot of things for everyone. That's an update personally. I'm sure I could share a lot more, but please continue to pray for Nika. She's adjusting well, learning a little bit of English, and Emmy's kids are learning a little bit of Russia, especially the word "niet," which is no, to her older siblings. But they love her dearly, and she loves them. And, of course, we do too. What I want to share a little bit this morning, initially, before I share about what God has been doing through the ministry, is something that I've been thinking about, and that is we are all on a journey. And in a sense, we are living in the in-betweenness of life, between the before and between the after. I'm reminded of a passage in Philippians, Philippians 3, and I won't read all of it, but a few key points from verses 7 to 14. Paul said, "But whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ." Jumping ahead to verse 10, "I want to know Christ. Yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead." Jumping forward to verse 12, "Not that I've already obtained all this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take a hold of that for which Christ Jesus took a hold of me." Verse 13, "Forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus." God has called us in a journey into the in-betweenness of life. What do I mean by that? Well, I think in our journey, we have key events in our life. There are in-betweennesses, if that's a word, between birth and death, between school and career, between being single and being married. children and no children, job, no job, and hopefully another job, children at home, empty nest, dealing with aging parents and end-of-life issues. And you know, some of these can be quite challenging. From a personal perspective, I have had a couple of these over the last year. One is last fall, I was traveling from Orlando back to Dallas, and I got a phone call that my mother was seriously ill. She had had an infection and blockage in her intestines, and the doctor basically said, you have a choice. You can either choose to have surgery, which all the doctors have said, if you ever have surgery again, you won't survive, or we'll put you into hospice and you'll probably live 3 or 4 days. A choice, a decision. Our family, my mother is 93, she'll be 94 in January, a dear, dear lady, loves the Lord, and she said, I can't make that decision, I need my children to help make that decision. Well, the surgeon said, it's a 60 to 70% survival surgery or the alternative. To me, it was easy to decision. And the good news is she survived. And God was faithful. But I know she's between life and death. She's ready to read to meet her maker. For me personally, I've got this third leg. I didn't ask for it. I didn't want it. I'm trying to get rid of it. Through an MRI, they discovered a growth in my leg. They took it out, took part of my muscles out. I'm trying to re-strengthen my leg. It was a key decision to make. I'm sort of in between Cain and hopefully no Cain. But God knows, I can walk. I just can't run. My grandchildren are glad that... But earlier this week, I was driving back to Dallas. A deer ran out in front of me. My car wasn't drivable. I'm in between right now hearing whether the car's totaled or not. Who knows? But God is on his throne. God provides. Some have been smaller. And some have been major. I mentioned the pandemic. I think we all, none of us saw the pandemic coming. We lived through the pandemic. We thought we'd get to the point where it's post-pandemic. I don't know where we are right now. But God knew and God knows, and we were on that journey. And in part of, during the process of the pandemic, we all faced decisions. Do we hibernate and stay in? Do we meet in a church? When do we meet in a church? When do we get back together? Do we go to school? What do we do? And a lot of it, it's people have deep, deep feelings about what they want to do. And it's become divisive. And, oh, God, I wish it didn't and hadn't. Sometimes we are torn and unsure how to move forward. And that's when I think we come to forks in life's road. And I've found in all of these in-betweennesses or this journey, I've found that it's helpful to use a biblical discernment process. It begins with listening to God. Listening to others, a stillness, a quietness, sometimes a waiting. Waiting is not necessarily always fun. Listening first, and then sometimes it involves laying down my opinions, laying down my preferences, my expectations, and asking the Lord to guide me. Then, As part of this biblical discernment process, I found it sometimes helpful to look at biblical models that may relate to the situation I'm in. A couple examples come to my mind. One is when the Israelites were traveling through the desert, wandering in the desert for 40 years. 40 years. They were in between Egypt and the Promised Land. We think 2 years of pandemic is long. Imagine wandering the desert for 40 years. They were in between slavery and escape from domination in Egypt and the Promised Land. They became weary, and yet God provided. They became ungrateful and dissatisfied and grumbled. And some, at a certain point, they said, "We'd rather go back to Egypt." And yet God wanted them in the Promised Land. They were God's people, God's chosen one. Another example comes to my mind, and that is with the disciples of Christ between Good Friday and Easter. Here, their teacher, their master, the one they followed for up to 3 years, the one they learned from, had been crucified. He had taught about the kingdom of God is at hand. He had even said that he was going to die and come back to life. They didn't get it. They were in between. They loved Jesus. They thought he was going to come as an earthly king. He said he was the Messiah, the Son of God. They had in their minds what that should look like. Can you imagine between that Friday morning and that Sunday morning, all the things they were thinking and dealing with? They probably were discouraged. It's like, what did we just do for 3 years? And then, of course, we know the rest of the story. Sunday morning, he was resurrected. There was an empty tomb. And the scriptures indicate that he appeared to them many times and did many signs and wonders. God is no stranger to the in-between times. Perhaps you as a church have, or as individuals, have or are dealing with some of these in-between times. And I think it's important to remember who God is, what he's called each one of us to do and be, and what we can rely on. Couple things I think about is, number one, God is still God. He's all-powerful, all-seeing, all-knowing, and he is love. He is the waymaker. We sang about that. Number two, he's proved himself faithful over and over again, and his promises are not only true, but they're trustworthy. He'll never leave us or forsake us. In Hebrews 13:5. Matthew 28:20 talks about how Jesus is with us even until the end of time. He's led us this far, and he'll continue to lead us. Number three, he has called each one of us into doing and being what he's called us to do and be. 1 Thessalonians 5:24, Paul wrote, "He who calls us is faithful, and he also will bring it to pass." Fourthly, we are the body of Christ, each with a function and a role to play. He calls us into that body, into unity, and he accomplishes his purposes through us. We do not need to fear, but we need to treat each other with the same loving kindness that we have received. Remember, he's faithful, always faithful. He's our waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. Amen and amen. Let me move into the next part here that I want to just, in the context of God being faithful, I want to share some of the how God has been faithful through the Josh McDowell ministry, a ministry of Crew, over the last couple years. For those of you who are new and may not be as familiar with Josh McDowell ministry, Josh is an author and speaker. He has spoken to millions of people around the world. He's an author of 150 books, including The Resurrection in You with his son, Sean. More than a carpenter, there's several of those back there also that help answer key questions that people have about Christianity. Our mission is really to serve others until the whole world hears about Jesus. That's what we do. And our vision is that there will be believers everywhere around the world who live their faith, who can support their faith, and who then share their faith. We believe that the truth of God is best explained in the context of relationships. God is a relational God. Yes, the Bible is reliable. It is trustworthy. Jesus was the Son of God and is the Son of God. Jesus' resurrection actually did happen. And if that is true, how does that affect our relationships? How does that affect our marriages? How does that affect our parenting? How does that affect how we treat each other? So those are the kinds of things that Josh has spoken on and about over the last close to 60 years. He's 83, and he's still traveling, still speaking, still doing some writing. But over the last three, 4 years, God has brought three younger speakers with us in their mid-20s to mid-30s. And we are hoping that more will join us. Men and women of different ethnicities with a passion to serve others until the whole world hears, to answer key questions that people have, to point people to that personal relationship with God. Ben is one of our speakers, and I call him Tattoo Man because he has tattoos. Oh, boy, does he have tattoos. As a 69, almost 70-year-old, growing up in a very conservative rural area in Pennsylvania, it's like, tattoos, no. But God has used him in incredible ways. Some of you are familiar with TikTok. He has decided to use TikTok to reach the younger folks, some millennials, but mostly Gen Z. He started posting three videos a day in June, and he's been doing three videos a day to his TikTok account since then, and has had millions of hits and followers. He'll deal with questions people are asking, dealing with issues of anxiety, dealing with issues of different fears, fear of death, dealing with issues of suicide, dealing with anxiety, dealing with addictions, and pointing people to Christ. And over the last it's been close to 5 months. In the first three and a half months, he also was giving people an opportunity to make a decision to follow Christ. And the Lord only knows what happened in these people's lives, but over 70,000 people indicated to Ben as a result of seeing these TikTok videos that they wanted to become a follower of Christ. We are working now on how do we follow them up? How do you, in the virtual world, with TikTok, how do you point people, these young people, into following Christ, into a community of other believers? We're working through that. Pray for Ben. Pray for us as we are wrestling through that. One of our other speakers, Matthew, has a YouTube channel that he puts up a short 7, 8, 10 minute video every week or so, dealing with questions that people have about Christianity. He calls it Backstage Christianity, dealing with some practical things. Interestingly enough, about a month ago, a young man from a country in West Africa that the majority religion is not Christianity, it's the religion of the Middle East, he happened to find Matthew's YouTube channel. And he reached out to Matthew and said, "Hey, I want to hear more. I want to learn more." And so Matthew began corresponding with him. This young man indicated that he wanted to follow Christ. Matthew came to me and said, "Do we have any connections there?" Well, Crew has staff in about almost 200 countries around the world. So I gave Matthew the name of our Crew director in that country, and that director's connecting one of his staff, trying to connect one of his staff with this young man. One of the practical things that happens is when you move from this majority religion to Christianity, there's great fear of what might happen to them and their family and so forth. And so he did not want to meet with this person in person. So we suggested WhatsApp as a way to start communicating. And you can pray for that because he's still a little hesitant. He's fearful. Pray that there'll be a connection so that he can have be followed up from someone locally there. Ken talked about Ukraine. This past January, February, when the war came out, it wasn't long until we all heard about the war and how people were fleeing Ukraine into Poland and Romania and Moldova and Hungary. And we got a call from one of our publishers in Poland. And they said, "Do you happen to have more than a carpenter in Ukrainian?" And we said, "Yes, we do." And they said, "We would like to begin printing those books to be able to give to the refugees." A lot of the churches, Crew as well, and other ministries were beginning to house these refugees, beginning to provide food and clothing because it was mostly moms and kids fleeing. Most of the dads had to stay back. They were not anybody 18 years old. Men 18 years old and older had to stay and join the army. And they said, "We would like to be able to provide some spiritual nourishment, and we think More Than a Carpenter would be a good book." So they initially asked for 5,000, and at that point we were hearing that there'd probably be hundreds of thousands coming. And so we prayed about it and said, "Let's go for 50,000 initially." Then we had another partner there that also approached us wanting to print some. Well, since then, about 220,000 copies of More Than a Carpenter in Ukrainian have been printed and distributed in those countries. Some have also been going back into Ukraine. Crew in Ukraine is called Ukraine for Christ. And initially, before the war, They had probably, I think I had heard about 120, 130 Ukrainian staff on college campuses working with, in the military ministry, family ministry, across the board. And when the war started, they pretty much, it's like, man, what do we do? And they had to pivot. many of the staff began to say, how do we reach out to these families who have not fled? How do we help provide for them? And they had some yellow boxes with food and different supplies. Yellow is one of the colors of the Ukrainian flag. So they called them the yellow box outreach. Then we reached out to them initially and said, would you like to have some more than a carpenter? And frankly, right at the beginning, they were trying to get their arms wrapped around what is going on. And they said, thank you, but no thanks right now. Well, since then, as this yellow box strategy has developed, they've asked for more than a carpenter to put into the yellow boxes. We have been in touch with the Ukrainian staff there, continue to pray for them. A good friend of mine who used to be the director for the ministry in Belarus, he and his wife now oversee the ministry, the military ministry in Ukraine and that part of the world, and he's had quite a few chaplains and other people on the front lines give up their lives. And you can only imagine all the things they're going through. We also, because we had been to Russia and Belarus, we have friends there. And frankly, there are friends there on both sides of the issue. May I just ask, please pray for the situation. Please pray for the churches, the pastors. Please pray that this war will be over. We don't understand what's going on. But as I have reached out to our and corresponded with our friends in Russia, the thing I do is I don't bring up the issues because who knows who's looking at emails and posts and so forth. But I just ask them how we can pray for them. They're very grateful for that. So please pray for them. Talking about an in-betweenness, they're dealing and wrestling with some really difficult issues right now. Pray for them. Pakistan is another country that's really opened up to us during the pandemic. We had a pastor reach out to us and say, Josh, can you speak virtually to our group of pastors? And last year he spoke to a group of about 500, and this past June he spoke to another group, this time in a different city, to a group of 700 to 800. And one of the things he addressed was pornography and just how horrific that is, but then some solutions. And the pastors and the crew staff came to us and said they were familiar, or we actually told them about the book that Josh and Ben wrote, Free to Thrive, that helps deal with that issue as well as other addiction issues. They are now in process of printing that or translating that. They initially asked for 100,000 copies. That was a little beyond what we felt. Let's start with a lower number. We started and we had a friend of the ministry provide the funds to print an initial run of 10,000. And we'll see how that goes. They also are just completed printing More Than a Carpenter in the Urdu language. And so that's something going on there. You know where the church is growing the fastest in the world? Any guess? Who said Iran? Yep, Iran. I was at a consultation, a conference recently in the fall, where about 100 of us representing maybe 50 different ministries focused on the Persian part of the world. And they told us again that in Iran, first of all, the church has been forced totally underground. And house churches. And yet the church and the house churches are flourishing. There's great persecution. And if you're current with the news, there's a lot of unrest going on in Iran. We need to pray for our brothers and sisters in Iran. But one of the things that our digital strategies director for that part of the world created a few years ago was an app, Josh Media app, that has about 150 resources on it in 17 different languages, including Farsi. And almost everybody in Iran, as well as a lot of Central Asia and closed countries, have cell phones. And we help provide some funds, like for Google ads or Facebook ads, so that people, as they're out looking for things, they'll find the Josh Media app. Some of the countries that are finding the app the most and downloading are countries like Iran, Afghanistan, some of the Central Asia stand countries, some very, very close countries. And yet God has a way through this digital age of reaching people in ways that we are so encouraged. In northern Iraq, a few years ago, I was there with another man who was talking with crew about starting a Christian radio station. They now have 13 radio towers across northern Iraq. That's reaching hundreds upon hundreds of thousands of people. They will read More Than a Carpenter. Josh also has a book, it's a novel plus, called The Witness, that is a story, but in the end, a Christian girl ends up marrying this guy who comes from the majority religion background. And they fall in love. She comes back to Christ. He makes a decision to follow God. And More Than a Carpenter, some of the issues from that book is in that, The Witness. But they read that book, The Witness, on radio. And a lot of people in prisons also are listening to it. And so that's another... when I say we exist to serve others until the whole world hears, that's an example of serving that local ministry. I may have shared in the past, make sure I'm holding this the right way, because they open it from the side that we don't, the other side. It's called the Right Choices Bible. A few years ago, and this one is in Arabic, we had an appointment with the head of the Coptic Church in Egypt, and he asked for 1 million copies of these. And it's like, oh, 1 million? I mean, it's amazing, and full color, and has 60-some Bible stories. And he said, I don't want them for the cities. I want them for the little villages throughout Egypt, to get the Bible and the Bible stories into families, lives so that the mom and dad can read it to the children. After each Bible story is a list of questions. It's called the Right Choices Bible because it talks about the importance of making right choices. The Bible story helps illustrate that. We partner with the Jesus Film, and they have a QR code on some of the stories here that points people then to, if with a phone, you hold the phone over the QR code, it takes you to a segment from the Jesus Film. So that has been published all over the world. Just this past year, we've been working with Mongolia, and they printed about 3,000 copies. So it just continues. Those are the kinds of things that are continuing to flourish, and I could go on and on with different things that God has been doing and ways that we have been able to partner with others around the world, but then also here in the U.S., our both Josh and as well as our three younger speakers have been available and are available to speak in churches and different venues. And one of the reasons we're back east is Josh was up in Pennsylvania a week ago, and we were there with him to support him while he spoke to a group of pastors and parents. God is the way maker. God is faithful. We are on a journey together. God has called us to wherever we are in our lives, not only to follow him, but to adventure with him. And whether we are older like I am, or younger like, I love seeing the college students here, And you guys have a life ahead of you. I can only imagine what God is going to do through each one of you. Invest your time wisely now. God, will you use you to do some things that none of us can imagine as you follow him? Now, there'll be some bumps along the road. We've all had bumps and scars, but God is still with us. Let me pray. Lord Jesus, thank you so much for this opportunity to be together today. Lord, thank you that you are faithful, that you are our way maker, that you walk beside us. And Lord, whether we're stumbling and need a hand to lift us up, or whether we're running, hopefully along your side, we thank you that you are there. Lord, I pray that we would not get ahead of where you want us to be. I pray that we would have patience to listen, to learn from you, from your scriptures, from others. I pray also that you would give us boldness and courage to be and to do what you want us to do and be. I thank you for each person here. And Lord, we look forward to the next time we're all together and are able to rejoice and look and be glad in what you are doing. We trust you, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen. Thank you.